improved. Your treatments will keep things at their status quo. You will be told that you are a survivor. But surviving a chronic illness is not enough. Much of this book has been about learning to accept the limitations of your disease, finding joy in your new reality, and giving yourself the chance to excel in a way that best supports your health. What I hope you've also come to understand is that you deserve to thrive, to seek your ultimate happiness, and to not believe that feeling better than you did yesterday is enough. Thriving with a chronic illness is an ongoing journey. When you have accepted your disease, learned to adjust your life around it, and reorganized your plans and goals, the next step is not just to feel better, but to feel your very best and believe that you deserve to have the best doctors, the best treatment, and the most supportive people in your life as you move forward. Are you only better? Or are you at your best? This chapter will help you access where you're at. Will you be living in the moment, or letting the stress of your disease sweep away your attention? Are you giving yourself the voice you need to power through the condemnation, pity, and judgments of others? Are you in a place where you're making your treatment choices not just based on what will hit the hardest, but also on what will give your life the greatest quality? Live in the moment. Have you ever been on a romantic date but had something else on your mind? Maybe you worried about your kids at home with the sitter or were waiting on an important response from work. Instead of focusing on the good food and excellent company, you couldn't stop staring at your cell phone? While most people are familiar with these small interruptions, those with chronic illness are constantly distracted by their body's messages, or by the fear that their body has a rude message to send soon. Is the dinner choice going to affect your stomach? Will it ruin your plans for later? Will fatigue sneak in during time with friends, forcing you to end the night early? Could brain fog make conversing difficult? Will a symptom need to be explained before you're ready to speak about it? It's a struggle to live fully in the moment without wondering, what new symptom will knock me down next? When you've started to use the tools in this book to begin managing the chaos of your disease, you'll be in a place where you can start to choose where you want to be. Do you want to be here at the table, talking to the person in front of you? Or do you want to be thinking about how to talk to your boss about why you had to cancel another important meeting for a more important doctor appointment? You will be able to give yourself permission to say, I am allowed to be here now. I can have this life no matter how hopeless each interruption may have seemed in the past. Yes, your disease will take up its own roomy space in your mind, but you can have a life that exists outside of your illness. Begin to visualize your disease and all its what-ifs as a wet umbrella. Whenever you walk into the room of each new moment, envision yourself taking that umbrella and leaving it by the door. Focus on your quality of life, not your diagnosis. When a disease is hard to diagnose, we can spend years trying to find the answer to questions like, is it because of a parasite, bacteria, a cancer? There is an infinite list of possibilities as to why you could be sick. But after a while, you've got to take a break from the endless hunt for answers and ask yourself, how am I going to handle living with my disease today? You don't want your life to just be about going from doctor to doctor. You need balance, time to spend with friends and family, and to do the things that really matter to you. You can't hunt, search, question, or get an answer for any of the whys in life until you've mastered feeding yourself, moving yourself, and balancing your work, relationships, and symptoms at the same time. If you don't take the time to do those things, you aren't really living. Whether you've been diagnosed, are in treatment, or are still struggling to put a name to the disease that is haunting you, you need to find acceptance. It's not defeat. It's not giving up. It's learning how to continue growing, striving, and thriving even when chronic illness stands resolutely in your way. Maybe in the past you felt like the victim, but now you have some tools to reclaim your life. Advocate for yourself. At the time when I was being told by many doctors that I was faking my illness, I couldn't imagine a reality where I'd be able to stand up for myself. My disease is, in every respect, my responsibility. Fighting for a better quality of life is a constant. You need to wake up each morning and ask yourself, how can my life be improved? When you're advocating for yourself, it means you're empowering yourself through information and education. You're doing your research and fulfilling your duty as the owner of your body to know, not to be told, what options you have. This information can be found through your knowledgeable physicians, but it can also be explored in books, online, through a disease-related organization, and most importantly, in discussion with other patients. This book has shown you multiple ways in which you can reach out to get the latest information to best benefit you throughout your treatment. Once you have your options, the next step is weighing them carefully. You'll want to discuss them at length with your doctor, partner, friends, or family. If you're too scared to ask your questions and demand the answers you deserve, you may find yourself disappointed by your doctor and their treatment plan. Misinformation and misunderstanding can result in shame, which is what leads patients to stop themselves from taking action, both medically and therapeutically. So please don't be scared to share the fruits of your research and the value of your personal experience with other patients through support groups and websites. Do your part by joining in on the conversation. Ultimately, how you choose to handle your disease will dictate how you experience your life. Only you can determine what will give you the greatest freedom. Only you can define what truly living with your chronic illness feels like to you. Stay one step ahead. Remember when we talked about preparing for a tsunami instead of a rainy day? You should feel plenty prepared now. I can practically hear the squeak of your boots and the drops on your umbrella. Money? Made and saved. ER plans? The address is already plugged into your GPS. Fallen on the floor and panicked you won't be able to get back up? Nope, because you're one step ahead of whatever your disease is going to throw at you. If you are still unsure, go back to Chapter 8 to review how to establish the groundwork for autonomy in your adult life. Outsmart your disease and don't forget to plan for your happiness. Managing chronic illness means developing strategies to assist you in moving forward with your life's greater focus and with as minimal suffering as possible. Don't headbutt your disease, outsmart it. Outsmart it in your relationships by breaking down those silent barriers with the hard questions. Is this too much for you? Do you resent me? Do you believe this is a real condition with symptoms worthy of the extremes I'm using to treat them? Outsmart it by making plans of action to create that greater net of support and to give your friends, family, and partners the information they need to understand what you're experiencing and how they can help. Outsmart it in your classroom, your workplace, your doctor's office, and at the family dinner table. Outsmart it when you feel like you can't find your way around the endless monstrosity of it. Outsmart it because you feel and you know that you deserve all the privileges and opportunities that others have. In this book, you've learned how to evaluate your living situation to see if you are ready to go out on your own, and how you can make the process safe and comfortable. You've also learned how to address your needs at school or work and maximize your flexibility when other people are needing things from you. With these safeguards in place, there is plenty of room to be the person your illness may have prevented you from becoming. With all the planning we've discussed so far, the one thing you don't want to forget to plan for is your happiness. Yes, you will have to make adjustments to create a functioning life, but it can and should also be ultimately fulfilling. Continue to learn and practice coping mechanisms. The world is not going to stop setting you up to fail, sometimes in spectacular fashion. No matter how smart you plan or how savvy your psychic abilities are, life will throw stuff at you that you didn't see coming. Beyond accepting it, the key to thriving is the way in which you treat yourself and give yourself compassion. In Dawn's words, love can heal your pain, the love you actively express towards yourself. The mind and body are intrinsically linked. Love and kindness in your thoughts will improve the health of your body. There are portions of this book dedicated to establishing a support network. But the truth is, you must be your greatest cheerleader. You must be in charge of going easy on yourself, quieting that inner critic, and loving you for everything that you are. It is easier said than done, but the more we take the time to monitor how we think about ourselves, take time for the comforts we enjoy, and pat ourselves on the back for the superhuman amount of resilience we are capable of, the closer we get to total thriving. Accept your disease. As I've mentioned many times in this book, the main trait a successful, functional patient has is the ability to accept, again and again, whatever comes. As you forge ahead, remember that acceptance has never been the road to giving up. It's just a new perspective, one that you'll find eliminates so much of your inner turmoil. While you may have looked around yourself before and seen a world full of people more capable or strong-willed than you, with acceptance, hopefully you can now see that you too can tap into a deep well of strength and willpower. Become your most empowered self. Hopefully this book has opened a new world to you, one where the road ahead to changing your life is much clearer and accessible. If nothing else, I want you to understand that you're more capable of thriving now than you ever have been before. In fact, many with chronic illnesses find that other obstacles in life become laughably trivial after they've started learning to cope with their disease. Deadlines, bills, social squabbles, please. While others struggle with these issues, your perspective from simply trying to keep your head afloat allows you to see what is most important in life. It is a power very few possess. Now is the time to become your most empowered self. Remember who you are. You've had tubes in places there should never be tubes. You've had bandages ripped off the places you wouldn't wax on your bravest of days. You've had a reasonable conversation with your health insurance provider. I'm not saying you're a superhero or anything, but, like, you're a superhero. This has been a presentation of Vibrance Press, Surviving and Thriving with an Invisible Chronic Illness, How to Stay Sane, Be Your Own Advocate, and Live Your Best Life, by Alana Jacklin. Narrated by Lori Prince. Edited by Hypes Media. For more information on related titles from Vibrance Press, please visit us online at vibrancepress.com. Surviving and Thriving with an Invisible Chronic Illness, How to Stay Sane, Be Your Own Advocate, and Live Your Best Life. Text copyright 2018 by Alana Jacklin. All rights reserved. Published by arrangement with New Harbinger Publications, Inc. Production copyright 2018 by Vibrance Press. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.